Do you believe that Jesus paid it all? Where would you be if he hadn't? We wouldn't be here today. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And if you would, we'll stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn of many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, He also glorified. Father, this morning, as we break the bread of life, I pray, Father, that each and every one of us here would have an open heart, would have ears to hear. Lord, there is no possible way that any child of God could ever make it through this world today without hearing, believing, using the Word of God. Father, we just pray that you would anoint this time, gather with us, and we pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. How many kids we have here that watch wrestling on TV? None? That's probably good, because it's kind of goofy sometimes. But how many of you have, sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes once a month, maybe once a week, you continually feel like you've been pinned to the mat, and all you're doing is just laying there waiting to be counted out? Or you've gone through so much trials and so many tribulations that sometimes you think you just can't get your head up again. In this world today, Jesus Christ has an adversary. It's called Satan. And it's his job to make sure that we stay down. It's his goal to make sure that we don't meet anyone that is lost and witness to them so that there's another soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. The title of the message this morning is Life Through the Spirit. Life through the Spirit is the answer to everything, because God's plan for us is bigger than our problems. When we're suffering, we know exactly what the scripture said this morning. God causes all things to work for the good. Now, the word know is actually the translation of this, or the meaning of this is that we learn by instruction. When you go to school, our kids go to school, they learn by instruction from the teachers. They learn to read, they learn to write. But they can't learn this unless someone instructs them how to do it. We learn the Word of God by the same way. We learn from the instructions of the Holy Spirit. We learn from the instructions of Sunday school teachers, pastors, friends, loved ones. When it says all things, it means all things. All of our trials, all of our tribulations. It deals with the persecution that we are subjected to because of our faith in Jesus Christ. One of the most perfect accounts in the Bible that teaches us about persecution, trials, tribulations, is Joseph. Joseph had brothers that had all the intentions in the world of taking his life because they were jealous of him. When they finally got him off by themselves, they couldn't do it. They talked themselves out of it. But they still did not want him going back to their father. So they put blood on his coat and they threw him in a hole. Later on, feeling even bad about that, they went back and they took him out of the hole and they sold him into slavery. Can you imagine what he was going through, even at just at that point? But things went downhill from there. He was accused of something he had no intentions of doing to start with. He was put in prison. But from all of that, everything that he went through, God brought Joseph the power. He said in Genesis 50, verse 20, "Even though you planned evil against me, God planned good out of it. This was to keep many people alive, as he is doing now." You know, whatever we face in life, it's not as bad as we think it is. And I use again Joseph as example. In his life, I don't see what else could have happened to him that would have been worse than what it was. How many of you remember, you don't have to raise your hand because you're going to be telling on your age if you do. How many of you remember your grandmothers doing this, making butter? You know, the cream always comes to the top. That's exactly how Joseph was. He was like cream. He always rose to the top. He never gave up. He never turned his back on God. Not one time. Now, he was a human being just like we are. And when we get in trouble, we have this tendency to say, this is too much. I can't take this. I can't deal with it. But Joseph's strength was so great in God, he never looked back. He never gave up. He never quit. When you look at this scripture that we read this morning, who's this promise for? Is it for everyone, or is it just for a limited few? The scripture says it's for a limited few. You go through the Bible, you go through the scriptures. Everything that Jesus said, the Beatitudes, were a promise. They weren't just a statement. They were a promise. When he said, "Nothing can take you out of my hands once you accept me as your Savior," that was a promise. When he said, "I will go to prepare a place for you, I surely will come back," that was a promise. Many times you hear pastors in funerals saying, "On this day, all of the promises that God made this person have been fulfilled." They know the scriptures. They see the scriptures where we still just believe by faith. The passage says the only ones that love God are the ones that the promise is for. Now, I know that can sound a little bit off, but think again about the promises of God. Those promises are made to His children. Now, the lost are not excluded from this. They have the choice to be included. You remember back I said that learning and knowing is just by instruction. Well, this morning in Romans, if you read the book of Romans, you will see that every single thing in there is another promise. We learn in Romans that if we love God, we will present ourselves to Him. That means when Jesus Christ convicts us of our sins, when you walk down this aisle, you're presenting yourself to God. You're saying, "Here I am." We learn that if we love God, we will grow in sanctification. How many of you that gave your life to the Lord, whatever time it was, and you got up from that altar, and there was a part of you that you felt like you've never felt in your life? You felt a rush come over you. Do you remember that today? Do you know that when you come to the altar and you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, you confess your sins? We're talking about this right here. You grow in sanctification. He does not pour the whole bucket on you at one time. You grow. Not only in sanctification, you grow in knowing and believing and loving God and His Son, Jesus Christ. If God gave everything to us all at one time, the scripture that's in the Bible that says we're like little babies, that we need milk, we need to grow, that scripture never would have been put in there. There would have been no need for it because we would have had everything we needed. We would have just walked from then until now as children of God with absolutely nothing to worry about. We learn that if we love God, we will walk according to the Spirit. Those who love me have my Father's love, and I too will love them and show myself to them, which means I will reveal the truth that I promised you. Verse 29 is the purpose behind the plan. The main purpose of being God's plan was to see those who loved Him be conformed in the image of Jesus Christ, so that on the day of resurrection, we will all be resurrected in the same body that Jesus Christ is. Guess what that means? When we're here, the scripture tells us that we are to be in the image of Jesus. That means that when someone sees us, they see Jesus in us. On the day of resurrection, we will look just like Jesus Christ. You see pictures hanging all over houses and in churches, pictures of Jesus. And I don't think anybody really knows what it's going to be like. But on that day, I do know I will look just like my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, just as you will. The second purpose in God's plan was for Him to have a large family, to be the firstborn of many brethren. This means God wants a big family. How many of you ever thought about failure as a Christian? It's awful quiet. God did not put failure into His plan. There is only success in God's plan. There is only being a member by inheritance, by adoption in the family of Jesus Christ. The reason we're given a free will is because God only wants those in His family who truly love Him. That free will is what tells God that you do because you chose it. Men, your wife knows that you love her because you chose that. You know that your wife loves you because she chose it. It was not something she was forced into. It was not something he was forced into. It's all about love. Now, I don't doubt that when close to death, every single person on the face of this earth, even the atheists, even people that do not believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, at one point in their life, they have heard about heaven and they've heard about hell. And I would venture to say that most people in that situation are going to say, I want to go to heaven. I don't know about hell, but I want to go to heaven. I know my wife loves me because she had a choice. If I woke up tomorrow and became filthy rich, she would still love me because of who I am. She'd go shopping a lot more, but she'd still love me because of who I am. Now, that's just a lady thing. That's us men, we don't do that, do we? Look at the last three words in verse 30. It says, "He will also glorify." Every single step that a child of God makes on the face of this earth from the time Jesus Christ was born until the day He comes back is a time of growing in sanctification and is a time of loving. It is a time of sharing. Sharing the Word of God, just like He told the disciples on the day of Pentecost. Go out that they might be saved. I know it goes through my mind a lot. Am I doing enough? I look at Jesus sometime and say, is that okay? Have I done it right? There is one thing that I'm sure of. When I get to heaven, when we all get to heaven and we stand before Jesus, every single one of us are going to hear, not only enter in thy good and faithful servant, but He might look at every one of us and say, you know, when you were talking about that scripture that day, when you were talking to that person, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. You remember a while ago we said the Holy Spirit leads us through the Word of God by instruction. Well, the Holy Spirit also allows us to know what God is saying when He speaks to us through His Word. And I've said this several times before, but I'll tell you again. If the Holy Spirit is not leading you through the Word of God, through the Holy Word of God, you just as well be reading a Superman funny book. Now that brings up another thought that some people are probably having right now. Well, doesn't God speak to us through Scripture, even the lost? Yes. But that's up to God. That's totally up to Him. There comes a time when each and every one of us need to get off to ourselves. Nobody there but us, the Holy Spirit, and say, God, minister to me. Talk to me. Show me what I'm doing wrong. Let me understand that when you ask me to do something and I do it, I've done it right. Several years ago, when I first got into the ministry in Bible college, all of us that were students in the college got to preach a message on Wednesday night. That was how we supposedly got broke in. I had a message that I wrote that I thought was, man, really good. I said, this is going to set everybody on fire. I actually had another one, too, that God gave me. I started off with mine. And about halfway through that message, I had the visions of that prophet whose tongue got stuck to the top of his mouth because he wasn't saying the right thing. My mouth got so dry, that was it. I had to stop. I put that one up. I got the other message out of the Bible, and I said, I'm sorry, y'all, you're going to be here just a little bit longer because I didn't do what God asked me to do. And now we're going to. If you're not doing what God asks you to do, if you're not saying things the way God wants you to say them, you're going to find out. God wants us to be as close to perfect as we can. Why? Because somebody else's life depends on it. Someone else's life, their soul, depends on what we say and how we act. And it all goes back to what we're talking about this morning. Being within God's plan. Living in the Spirit. As long as you live, you pray. You meet with Jesus Christ on a constant basis. Scripture says pray and pray often. Give your prayer a name. Be specific. And if your heart and your soul is in the right place, and I know you all know this because you felt it, God will speak to you. He will lead you. He will take you on the path that He wants you to be on. And it's all because of love. The love that Jesus Christ had when He gave His life for us. The love that God had when He gave His Son's life for us. If Jesus Christ can die for us, how can we not live for Him? This morning, if you want to know the one that loves you that much, all you have to do is step out. Jesus Christ is always waiting. He's always there. No man, woman, or anything on the face of this earth loves you more than He does. No one. Don't feel bad when you tell someone that you love God more than you love your wife, or you love God more than your husband. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's God first, then family. Why do I say that? Because without God, you don't have a family. If God's not in the center of everything you do, including your marriage, He's not there. If you want to know Him this morning and you don't, as we stand, be obedient. If God is speaking to you, you know, I heard an old pastor say one time, if you're standing there and your hands are sweating and you're nervous, God's talking to you. Just be obedient. Because the rewards are far greater than anything you could ever imagine.